This is Digital Story Podcast number 580, April 18th, 2017. Today's theme is The Wedding Civilian. I'm Derek Story. After years of donning the official uniform of a wedding photographer, dual SLRs tugging at my neck, a utility belt crammed full of flashes and lenses, and a creased white shirt pulled three different directions at once, I am now a civilian. I wear a tailored suit without bulging pockets, accessorized by a handsome mirrorless camera accenting my tie as it hangs lightly from my neck via its matching leather strap. It not only has my attire changed, but my attitude as well. And that's the topic of today's TDS Photography Podcast. All right, before we get into the wedding civilian itself, and I have some excellent tips, because we are coming into wedding season, are we not? I first must distinguish the difference between a wedding civilian and Uncle Bob. Because this actually came up on my Instagram feed, and I thought, oh boy, I better nip this one in the bud. So we'll start with Uncle Bob, and then I'll say how the wedding civilian is different than Uncle Bob. So Uncle Bob is a term that has been around for quite a while, and generally speaking, at least the way that I define it, Uncle Bob is someone who has a camera, DSLR camera, let's say, and who is a hobbyist. And because the bride and groom don't want to pay for a professional photographer, they just go, well, Uncle Bob takes good pictures. We'll have Uncle Bob shoot the wedding. Now, there's nothing wrong with Uncle Bob's at all, but it's clearly a type of photographer that you see more and more at weddings as couples decide that they don't want to pay $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a professional wedding photographer. So that is who Uncle Bob is. He's a very kind and loving and caring soul who is donating his ability and his Canon EOS Rebel to the cause so that the bride and groom will have pictures after the wedding. Now, the wedding civilian is altogether different than Uncle Bob. The wedding civilian is someone who is a photographer also, a hobbyist, more likely an enthusiast photographer. And what do I mean by that? Well, someone that maybe is a bit more intermediate or advanced in skills, not so much someone that just leaves it on auto everything. Now, the wedding civilian may have shot weddings professionally themselves in the past, or they may have not, but chances are they could, and chances are they could do it quite well. However, at this particular time in their life, they are not shooting weddings professionally. It's not part of their freelance business. And they are attending weddings strictly as a friend or family member. It's probably you, right? I mean, does that sound a lot like you? Someone who could shoot a wedding, but probably isn't doing it professionally right now for various reasons. I have moved from the world of professional wedding photographer to wedding civilian, and even though I've had a foot in both worlds for a while, now I can say I am a civilian, and I think I am hanging up my wedding photography uniform and will shoot weddings no more. So this wedding that I just went to this past weekend was really my first as a wedding civilian. It was really my coming out party, although there was no celebration at all. I mean, the party was for the bride and groom, not me with my camera hanging around my neck. As I went into this wedding weekend, I was thinking, I am really going to pay attention to how this is different than my professional photography or than photography by Uncle Bob. And I think this would be a great podcast because here we are, we're in April right now, but May, June, July, all big months for weddings. Chances are you might have a wedding on the books, and chances are you might be going as a wedding civilian yourself. If that is the case, I have five things for you to keep in mind as a wedding civilian. And the first one, I tell you, I had a conversation this morning with someone that I work with, a client actually. And so they're asking what's going to be on the podcast this morning. And I brought up this first one, and they guessed completely differently than what I'm going to recommend, which really made me feel good. Because here we go. You get something unique here, something that you won't get somewhere else. Here's point number one. don't talk to the hired photographer. The last thing that the official photographer wants is to hear about your camera, your photographic prowess, or really your opinion about anything. They don't want to hear it. The official photographer is already dealing with a churning cauldron of challenges. Let them be and stay out of their way. Rule number one as a wedding civilian is stay away from the official photographer. Now, some examples of this are the group shots. And when I was the official photographer, I used to have to deal with this a lot. I would set up the group shot, and then a lot of people would cram in and want to take pictures, you know, with their various cameras of this group shot that I had set up. What I did this time, and this was actually a photo that I ran on Facebook and Twitter yesterday when I was saying, hey, I'm going to talk about this week, is that I went all the way around to the side. I got a nice side angle of the group shot. I was well out of the way of the official photographer. I was not interfering with anything, and I think I got a much more interesting shot than if I had been rubbing elbows with the official photographer, making him annoyed in the process. So, rule number one, as a wedding civilian, don't talk to the hired photographer. Just let him be, let him do his job, let her do her job, and go about your business far, far away from them. Okay. Number two, take advantage of your unique perspective. And this really jumped out at me on Saturday during the wedding. In fact, I was thinking that when I was the official photographer, I would have killed to have the seat that I had at the wedding. I was in the second row, and I was a little bit to the right, and I had a nice angle on the bride and groom. I had a few people in front of me, and right away I let them know. Of course, I knew them there because, you know, we're all friends and family sitting together there. I said, all right, I might kind of, you know, have my camera right in between you and you every now and then. Don't let it bother you. And if it does bother you, just turn around and smile at me, and I'll know what that means. Of course, it didn't bother anyone, and I'm going to talk about that in the next point. But at any rate, so when the bride and the father of the bride came in on the processional, came up the aisle there, it was really neat being in the middle of the crowd. Everyone stands up, and I have all these people around me, and there was just a little window there. And I go, what a neat shot is that, to have kind of all these people doing their various expressions and activities while the bride and the father are coming in, and then just shoot that shot using all of these people as a frame. That's pretty cool, because when I was the official photographer, I was either shooting it from behind or shooting it in front with everyone standing up. That's the shot that everyone wants. Maybe it's just because I've shot that shot so many times, I'm tired of it. And I love the shot from within the crowd, shooting through the crowd and just catching the father and the bride as they pass by. That's just one example of being able to have this unique perspective. I can wander about, I can cozy up to the father of the bride, and while he's talking with her, and then just step back and get a shot. There's all sorts of neat things you can do. And remember, the behind-the-scenes version of a story, BTS, the behind-the-scenes version of a story is often a very interesting one. So there's the story itself that's being told by the official photographer, and then you get to be the behind-the-scenes guy. That's even better than being the second shooter, because the second shooter still has to, first of all, do what the primary shooter tells him or her to do. And second of all, they are constrained by the shot list and all those other things. You have none of those constraints whatsoever. You are behind the scenes. You have unique access. You have a backstage pass. All right, that is pretty neat stuff. Take advantage of it, but don't abuse it. Don't abuse it at all. Point number three, be a silent historian. Turn off your phone. And for the love of Pete, turn off the audible focus confirmation sound on your camera. In other words, that little beep sound that happens every time your camera is in focus, turn that off. Choose the quietest camera that you have for the event. Don't use flash. And if you can't capture the shot existing light, wait for another opportunity. Prime lenses are mandatory gear for the wedding civilian. So yes, no beeping. So you have to find where that is, turn it off before the wedding. Obviously, make sure your phone is off. Everyone in the audience should have their phone off. But flash can be very annoying too. It can be distracting for the official photographer also. So don't use flash. There's no need to these days. We have high ISO. We have nice, fast prime lenses. So the bottom line here is just don't be annoying. Don't be that guy, okay? Don't be that guy. So you are in stealth mode when you are the wedding civilian. Point number four, honor the family. Now that you're not the official photographer anymore, you are an ambassador as well as an artist. So in addition to telling the story of the day through your images, honor all requests for portraits and spontaneous group shots. Because there are times when the wedding photographer is just so busy that people are hesitant to ask him or her, will you take a picture of my family? Now, some people do, believe me. There are some people that march right up and they want you to come over there and do their family group shot right now. And you know what? More power to them. But a lot of people are hesitant because they see how busy the person is. And, you know, it feels a little awkward, like they're intruding or that they're, you know, maybe distracting him from what he should be doing otherwise. However, you, on the other hand, have nothing but time on your hands and a little conversation, a few little portraits, a little group shots. Not only are you helping these folks out, but you're getting more information for your story, for the story that you're going to be telling. And in fact, if you know these folks, as you often will, then you're going to get different group shots and different portraits out of them than maybe a stranger would. So this is not only a unique opportunity for you as the artist, but it's also a great situation for you to spread the love, for you to show that photographers are kind-hearted souls who will take those spontaneous group shots, who will do those couples portraits, and who will follow up and send those shots to people afterward. So make sure you deliver on the goods. So honor the family, be an ambassador, and you know what? It'll all come back to you in additional shots that you can use for your own story. And finally, enjoy true photographic freedom. This is what it's all about. You get to sit with friends and family, enjoy the wine, eat when everyone else eats, and take pictures that you want when you want to. This is as good as it gets for events. You should really relish this moment and just be thankful that not only are you here as a guest or a family member, but you also have the unique skill set to capture it photographically, maybe something that will be viewed for years and years to come. True photographic freedom is a wonderful thing, especially when there's an open bar and a three-course meal. So those are some of the things that really jumped out at me as the wedding civilian. I thoroughly enjoyed my time. I'm still working on the images. That's the other thing. Instead of 700 images or 1,200 images or whatever I got as the official photographer, I'm dealing with, 120 images, something like that. And I'm really just taking my time with the ones that I like. I probably should work through them here in another day or so, and then we start the sharing process. Then we start making a few prints for folks, sending the link to a gallery to everyone else, and just really sharing the love in general. So a great experience. I hope that if you have a wedding coming up, that you have a nice little camera. Oh, you're probably wondering, what camera did I use? Well, you already know, probably, because I've been talking so much about it lately. But the way that I went to this wedding is that I had an Olympus Pen F, and I used a nice leather neck strap, and I had a leather half case on it, and it went very well with my suit, I have to say, and my tie. The lens that I started with, because it was afternoon and I had plenty of light, was the 14-42 EZ, and it's a very nice little zoom, and it's very inconspicuous. And then in my pocket, in my suit pocket, I did have the Pancake Panasonic 20mm f1.7 lens, which I switched to both for portraits and for later on in the evening when the light went down really low. That's all I had. I just had those two lenses with me, and I had the Pen F hanging around my neck. It was comfortable all night. And then in my other suit pocket, I had an extra battery that I didn't need. And that was it. That was it. It was so nice. One camera, two pancake lenses, and a battery. Ah, the good life. The Me Photo Road Trip Air on assignment. This week is kind of interesting. So I had the Me Photo Road Trip Air with me when I went to the wedding, and it was in the trunk of the car. And it stayed in the trunk of the car the entire time. I did not need it. And you're thinking, well, why would you bring that up? Why would you bring up the fact that you brought this tripod to the wedding and never used it? Well, I'll tell you exactly why. And this is a big part of what tripods are to me. I knew the whole time that I was at the wedding and at the reception, when we went from afternoon into dark, that if I needed that tripod, it was literally a 3-minute walk out to the car to get it. I could carry it around with me for a few minutes, no problem at all, because it was so light, and especially since I didn't have a camera bag, and then I could just stash it back in the trunk. So it's the confidence of knowing that you always have a tripod with you that is wonderful. That is wonderful, because then you don't have to say no to those photo opportunities as they present themselves. Then if I decided that I wanted to do a time lapse, I could do a time lapse. If I wanted to shoot video on a tripod, I could shoot video on a tripod. If I wanted to do a long exposure, that wouldn't be a problem. All of my possibilities were open because I had this little compact tripod stashed in the car out of the way, knowing that it was there if I needed it. And that is something that a tripod that you can always have with you gives you, which is that confidence. So even though I did not use the Me Photo on the wedding trip, I could have. And knowing that I could have made all the difference in the world. If you want to learn more about the Me Photo line of tripods, look for the colorful tile on all the pages of the digital story. And if you decide that you want one for yourself, you would like to have one of these in the trunk of your car, then make sure that you use the code THEDIGITALSTORY at checkout, and that'll save you 10% and you receive free shipping. That little tripod goes with me everywhere, whether I use it or not. Ricoh isn't going to kill Pentax. So this is a story that bugged me. You know, certain stories just bug you. The story of the doctor that got hauled off the United Airlines plane, that bothered me. The guy had a ticket, and he essentially got beat up. That bothered me because I fly a lot. This other story about, it's not a story, it was link bait is what it was, about Ricoh killing Pentax bothered me, and I think it bothered me more because I have just gone through it with Nikon, and then we went through it with Panasonic, and now, you know, they're doing it with Pentax, and I'm going, enough is enough about this. Here's the thing, folks. If you've ever run your own business, or if you've ever been part of management for a large business that had its act together, then you know that you have to change your business as the world changes. If you don't change your business as the world changes around you, then you go out of business. That's what causes you to go out of business. Not changing is what causes you to go out of business. And even in my world here as an entrepreneur, this is super true. I have to reinvent myself every couple years. So when I read a story about, you know, Nikon is struggling because they have to reorganize their camera business, or that Panasonic is thinking about dropping all their cameras when in fact all they're trying to do is reorganize their camera business so that it becomes profitable or more profitable, I get annoyed. And so then I got annoyed again when this rumor came out, when this post came out, and then everyone picked it up and it went viral, and you know, the whole internet thing happened to it, where Ricoh was going to kill the Pentax brand. They're not going to kill the Pentax brand. What they're trying to do is maximize their investment in the Pentax brand that they had been partners with, and then they bought it outright, and they've been managing the brand for some time now. Pentax cameras, the last few years, have been highly reviewed, but their sales are not the same as Canon or Nikon or even Olympus, to my knowledge. So they make great cameras and they don't sell a ton of them. Well, guess what? There's a lot of other camera companies that do the same thing. And I used to think, and when I thought about this, I would think about cars also. Mercedes-Benz doesn't sell the most cars. I mean, they don't sell nearly as many as Toyota or VW, yet they're still around, aren't they? So if you've been hearing this or been wondering about it, then the post that I suggest you read is the one that was on the Foblogger, and it is titled, "Relax, Ricoh isn't going to kill Pentax brand or their cameras. Confirmed." And it's a pretty good post. He gets a little edgy in the post about Pentax cameras, and his complaint as a reviewer is not the cameras themselves. He loves the cameras. The problem is that the Pentax audience, they tend to be a pretty vocal bunch, and he has felt that over the years that he couldn't voice anything negative about a Pentax camera in a review, or they would come at him with torches and pitchforks. And I can understand that. I know that the Pentax audience, the consumer base, really stands behind their product of choice. And I also understand why they are as tough-minded as they are, because they have been the minority for so long. And, you know, they want to fight tooth and nail to keep their brand around. So this is one of those things where I understand both sides of the equation. So I was thinking, after I read all the stories that I could find on this topic, starting with the early ones that showed up on Petapixel. I think Petapixel had one of the more inflamed versions early on. And then we saw DP Review, and they kind of had a little bit more balance to the reporting. Imaging Resource, I think, had a little bit more balance. Then the Foblogger kind of came out with this post. And so we saw things kind of settling down over the period of a few days in terms of how the reporting went on this. But, you know, my thoughts around this, whether you are a Nikon shooter or a Panasonic shooter or a Pentax shooter, what I think you should do is then that is a good time for you to state on your social, to state with your own audience, and to maybe write a review about that camera and say, you know what, this is a good camera. Or do the balanced review. I love this camera for these reasons. Here are the things that I hope they improve in the next model. However you want to do it, but bring up a story that is the other side of the coin. And, you know, that's what I think we need a lot of times with these situations. We need the other side of the coin. The companies themselves will sort it out, just like Nikon and Panasonic and now Pentax has done, or Ricoh, I should say, has done, that once this thing goes viral, then they release an official statement and say what they're going to do. Now, some people like to point to the Samsung situation and say, well, you know, Samsung at first said that they weren't going to close the camera business, and then it appears that they have. Well, that does happen too. That does happen too. But that isn't a guarantee that that's what's going to happen, or that that's even the intention at the time. But until that officially happens, a lot of times these things are just link bait. Try not to buy into them. I want Nikon to be around. I want Panasonic to be around. And I certainly want Pentax to be around. These are three brands that I care a lot about. And this is my way of doing the other side of the coin. And hopefully, maybe you'll do that too if you're a fan of one of these three brands. All right, I have a few important updates for you. The registration invitations have gone out to the reserve list members for the Autumn in Wine Country Photography Workshop. That's coming up in late October. So if you were on the reserve list, then you should have an invitation in your inbox. If you don't have an invitation in the inbox, then make sure that you write me and let me know, because something probably went wrong there. If you do have an invitation, all you have to do is click on the link in the invitation, and it takes you over to the registration page. On that registration page, I have an overview of the workshop that's going to happen here in Sonoma County in October. I have all the dates, the days of the week, and then I have a preliminary itinerary, and then I have lots of information about the workshop itself. So there's all sorts of good stuff there to help you make a decision if this is a good workshop for you or not. Now, one thing that I want to point out while we're talking here on the podcast is that we're trying something different with this workshop that we've never tried before. which is a lot of times people like to have a travel mate with them when they come to a workshop because, you know, they're going somewhere else, somewhere that they don't live. Maybe they don't want to travel alone, but yet there's not always a lot for the travel mate to do while said person is going out on photo shoots and in classroom sessions. Especially if we have these really long days like we do sometimes where we go all day and then even into the evening. So on this workshop, what we're doing is that, and you can see this on the itinerary, I've made it very clear, that we're going to have plenty of time for classroom. We're going to have lab sessions. We're going to have photo shoots for workshop participants. But then we're also having activities that the other person, what I'm calling the companion, can join in on. And that'll be things like lectures about the different types of wine in Sonoma County. That will be wine tasting at wineries. That will be some afternoon walks after the wine tasting. They have access to the transportation that we're providing. So if you're doing some wine tasting, we, you know, take you around and then we bring you back. And so you don't have to worry about driving. And so it becomes more of a shared experience. Now, if you decide that you want to come to this by yourself, that's great. And that's not a problem at all. You don't need a companion on this. That's not the idea. The idea is for those folks who do want to have a travel mate, then that travel mate, if they choose to do so, will have something to do and they can participate in the workshop. So this will be interesting and I'm really curious to see how it pans out. I'm excited about it. I know it's going to be great for the workshop participants. I'm hoping that it's also going to be a terrific experience for the travel companions, and I hope it doesn't drive me crazy doing it. So I guess the part that I'm most concerned about is the third part. So at any rate, if this sounds interesting to you, we're going to be talking about, you know, pairing. So, you know, what foods go with what wines. We're going to be tasting. We're going to have some great Sonoma County cheese. I mean, this is really going to be a lot of fun. I have learned a lot about all of this over the years, and then especially my involvement with the Artisan Cheese Festival, where they're working with wines and foods together, and I've attended many, 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 many sessions around that. I'm going to try to get a speaker or two to join us on this. It's really going to be a lot of fun. It should be very relaxing. And at the same time, it's a great time of year to be here in Sonoma County. We're going to be in some terrific places, and you should come away with plenty of beautiful photography, too. Win, win, win. It's sort of like what I was talking about with being a wedding civilian, where, you know, you get to enjoy the event and you get great photos. This workshop, I think, is going to be like that. You get to enjoy Sonoma County, you get to enjoy wine and food, and you get great photos. So fun. Great way to end our workshop season. And then if you're not on the reserve list and you would like to be in round two of the invites, all you have to do is go to our photography workshops page at thedigitalstory.com. There's workshops right at there at the top. Click on the workshops link. It'll lay out all of the workshops. Two of them are sold out. One only has one seat left. And then right now, the autumn workshops only open to people on the reserve list. After they've had their opportunity to sign up, then I will usually send out a second round for people that come onto the reserve list after round one has gone out. If you want to be on that second round, all you got to do is use the Send Me Info form, and then I will put you on the reserve list for round two. And then, and you know, before too long, we'll send out those invites for the remaining seats. This is going to be a blast. It's going to be a good time. And it's going to be educational, too, both photographically and in terms of wine, cheese, and food. I hope I get to see some of you out there in wine country with me. A big thanks to all of our Patreon members. And I have something happening here that I did not expect. But it really makes me feel good in that some of you who are already members of our inner circle have gone back and you have upped your monthly pledge from what you originally pledged. That is cool. That is cool stuff. We just had another one this week. You know who you are. Thank you very much. Thank you to all of the members of our inner circle for supporting this podcast and giving us some independence in how we run this show. We want to keep it listener focused, and Patreon is helping us do that. If you're curious about becoming part of the inner circle, we have a Patreon tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. very easy to sign up and very easy to become a part of this. We have B&H and Amazon Tiles on all the pages of the digital story. If you're going to make a purchase, if you're going to buy that pen F that I've been talking about, if you don't mind clicking on either the B&H tile first or the Amazon tile first before you make your purchase, then we get a small commission off the sale, but it doesn't cost you a penny more. It doesn't cost you a penny more, but it helps out the site. Just keep that in mind if you're ready to buy some photo, audio gear, or really anything else that you can get on either of those sites. And finally, a big thanks to the folks at Red River Paper who are supporting this podcast, who are supporting the site, and who are promoting printing. And, you know, there's not a lot of folks out there that are waving the printing flag. Red River Paper is definitely one of them. And not only are they helping us through education, but they are providing the tools that we need. Ink you can get on their site, paper you can get on their site, envelopes, glassine sleeves, really basically everything that you need, including knowledge on how to best produce whatever it is that you want to produce, whether it's a landscape shot on one type of paper, a portrait on another type, a fine art greeting card, whatever you want to do, there's information there. Big thanks to them again for supporting this podcast. You can learn about them by clicking on the tile that's on all the pages of the digital story or by going to their Facebook page, facebook.com/redriverpaper. Okay, that is going to do it for me this week. I'm working on something, another adventure, actually, for next week that I can't wait to talk about. But I hope you enjoyed The Wedding Civilian, and I hope this information proves useful to you if you're lucky enough to get to go to a wedding this season. Until next week, have a great week. I'll see you then. Bye-bye now.